title of this article is Major Humanistic Topics That Are Needed to Be Covered. The objective of this article is to reveal the various problems associated with what the majority believe and about today's belief system. It is virtually non-existent when it comes to the Bible, so that leaves humanism as their belief system. Furthermore, the belief in man's worldview is the polar opposite of the biblical worldview and is expressed in the form of evolution and an old earth of millions or billions of years. The Bible study of Genesis 1 to 11 by itself is very valuable, and we should be able to extract every ounce or gram of truth from God's Word. Unfortunately, these chapters are the main problem for those that attempt to compromise God's Word or ignore it. What is required is a direct refutation, step by step and line by line, of atheistic beliefs to try to get the majority turned away from these improper beliefs. I am interested in this article of giving details of how to proper evangelize and steer teachers of Genesis 1 to 11 in the correct direction. Another problem is that many pastors and leaders in churches totally ignore this area of Scripture. They say that it is too controversial and that they might lose members if this is taught from the pulpit, especially when the Scripture is so exact about a young earth around 6,000 years. They are totally wrong about losing a lot of members. That won't happen on a grand scale unless they continue to procrastinate, and then it will be too late. A few members might be flushed out and leave the church, but why weren't they informed to start with is my question. We need to give the glory and honor to our Creator God, who is none other than Jesus Christ. We can do this by believing His Word thoroughly from start in Genesis to finish in Revelation. Warning: do not try to teach from Genesis chapters 1 to 11 if you yourself are not fully convinced that a straightforward reading and study of the first 11 chapters of Genesis are without error, and that a man cannot add anything, eisegesis, to what God is trying to tell us. In other words, we ourselves as teachers must be firmly established in the belief that God's Word is inerrant and totally true. Nothing must be added from man's theories or worldviews to Scripture, and that especially includes the religion of macroevolution and millions and billions of years. These are atheistic ideas contrived from the imagination of man. We as Christians need to be in the business of refuting humanism, especially in the form of atheism. Without evolution and the old earth theory, atheism would have a much harder time to exist today. These theories of evolution and an earth that is millions or billions of years old are essential to atheism and even to pagan beliefs as well. Christians have no leg to stand on believing and promoting these imaginary man-contrived theories that totally oppose God's Word. Remember that the events recorded in the first 11 chapters of Genesis are what God says He did. Our Bible study of Genesis 1 to 11 is based entirely on God's Word in a straightforward fashion. Many times we refer to the three main organizations, and those are Answers in Genesis, Hebrew for Christians, and the Institute for Creation Research, and it will allow us to get more information, especially from a scientific standpoint. We need to identify the problem in today's world. Before making any attempt to teach from the Scriptures, all of us must realize, due to the lack of Christian training and church attendance, the vast majority of young people today may not understand who the God of the Bible is, and also may not have any concept of biblical principles and truths. Indoctrination and false teaching from a secular worldview are the main contributions to most students adopting an atheistic worldview that comes from many teachers in practically all of our state-run secondary and high schools. This same pagan education continues into the majority of our universities. Only a select few universities have any reasonable concept of a biblical worldview. Not only that, if you try to teach from the Bible in a state-run school in the USA or its many universities, you risk being fired, harassed, and sued as well from atheistic organizations. A couple that come to mind are called Freedom From Religion Foundation and is, of all things, nonprofit, and the other is the all-famous ACLU. Both are vehemently opposed to true Christianity, and the theory of evolution and an old earth are acceptable to them. In other words, they are atheistic all the way. Atheists really have their religion rightly called atheism. They won't admit it. Don't just blame secular institutions for the problem of atheistic beliefs. Don't think that all Bible colleges and seminaries have the true biblical worldview. Many can be worse than mainstream universities. Many pastors, Bible teachers, religion professors, and other heads of many so-called religious institutions are constantly compromising God's word and causing untold harm to others by adding in false ideas in order to appease mainstream unbelievers in secular science and agnostic leaders. These Christian leaders say that science has proved evolution and an old earth. Some are even called theistic evolutionists. That doesn't mean that all these leaders that are true believers in Christ aren't going to heaven, but they will have a serious problem accounting for their unbelief. A few religious schools are not bad, so I don't want to scare everybody. What this means is that an individual wanting to attend a good religious school that is based on young earth creation principles and beliefs had better do a thorough job of research before submitting an application. Parents interested in young earth creation beliefs need to be involved in the choosing of schools for their sons and daughters as well. I am not saying you can't receive an education today in a school of your choice, but you need to be ready to learn how to discern the good and bad of all the humanism thrown at you, and then use the education later to God's glory and not man's. Go on and pass without causing problems so that you will at least be accepted in the workplace. What good would it do if you get into trouble over your beliefs and don't pass? That doesn't mean you cannot witness to the lost while in school if you truly know God's truth. Learn God's word thoroughly also. The Bible and science. Many say that the Bible and science are at odds. Who is the creator then? Would science exist without someone to give us the ability to think and amass knowledge? By the way, that is a main definition of science, knowledge. Science cannot speak for itself. We shouldn't say science says this or that. What we need to do is identify the source of the statements made. If God created everything from nothing, called ex nihilo in Latin, then science has to follow as knowledge. We do not possess superior knowledge, only God. See what God says about knowledge. 1 Samuel 2:3, talk no more so very proudly, let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Job 21, 14-16, they say to God, depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we get if we pray to him? Behold, it is not their prosperity in their land. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. Job 21:22. Will any teach God knowledge, seeing that he judges those who are on high? Don't just throw biblical ideas out indiscriminately to an audience of non-believers. You can waste your time trying to teach straight from the Bible if you have a class full of those that are not convinced that studying the scripture is worthwhile. That may involve first presenting the gospel or qualifying the attendees that they are depending on Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. It is imperative to use the proper way of evangelism, and evangelism should be explained from the very origin of the world. We cannot jump into the New Testament initially easily as we used to. By that, I mean start with the brief mention of the perfect created world in Genesis 1. Next, that man fell into sin in Genesis 3, and that the promise of a Savior and forgiveness of sin through the first sacrifice are first portrayed in that chapter. Once that it is accomplished, then continue with the New Testament to finish up. I feel certain that if this method of evangelism is not done today, this way, you will have limited success. The problem can be that many could ridicule the Bible, and they can think the Bible is full of fables and myths, especially in Genesis 1 to 11. They can ask, what do you mean by salvation, or salvation from what? The belief from the teaching of evolution in an old earth of millions and billions of years is the major contributor to the lack of respect for God's word. You have to be brief when using the creation and fall of man events because you are not teaching a Bible lesson initially, and besides, you wouldn't have wanted to give too much detail the old way either. We are still using the old way to finish up. Of course, many will deny God's word from cover to cover, and we should realize this. Still, starting from the beginning is extremely important. Unfortunately, some church members may resist this method, but this is the way I will do it. We use all of God's word in the process, the part that has been left out for years. I never learned this method until several years ago due to a God-believing, thorough pastor, and then I was a bit older. It seems today that the mainstream ideas from religious leaders are to ignore the beginnings of evangelism. The gospel started in the garden, and that is appropriately called the gospel in the garden. You can read the article on the internet at www.hebrew4christians.com, and that's using the number 4. Search for that title. All these are not my original ideas. I concur with Hebrew 4 Christians, Answers in Genesis, and the Institute for Creation Research. I even visited a Messianic Hebrew church that used the Genesis account to witness with success. Understand, when using this method of evangelism, you must be careful not to incite arguments or try to bully anyone in their belief in secular humanistic ideas. Just present the facts simply in an orderly way and include the discussion that God created everything perfect until man decided in the perfect Garden of Eden to bring sin into the world through disobedience after being tempted by the evil one called Satan. You will, of course, want to mention both Adam and Eve's sin by eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that a holy and perfect God had to judge their sin. They were to die due to their sin, which means they were originally on course to live forever before sinning. What did God do? He did not immediately kill them. Instead, he promised a Savior to come and destroy Satan by crushing his head, and that Satan could only crush his heel, a less severe wound, but a wound nevertheless. This Savior is Jesus Christ to come later and die on a cross. Now you can use the Roman road or way, John 3:16, and other favorite verses of your choice. Remember to be prepared. If your audience is open to start immediately with the Bible study, then all the more better. Realize that the vast majority of Christians fall into one area of different beliefs concerning evolution in an old earth. One, they may be totally convinced through heretical teaching in the church or the secular world. Two, they may not be sure. And three, they may not have paid attention to the scriptures about origins. Number three seems to be the norm because most of the public demonstrates apathy about spiritual matters in general. The very reason you are able to have a class means that they are seeking answers to the truth and hopefully not there to scoff. All of 2 Peter chapter 3 describes scoffing and false belief. 2 Peter 3, the day of the Lord will come. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that it then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." I'm going to say this. You can see what is going to happen in the future, because this is talking about the global flood, and we're not going to have the destruction of the earth by water. But look at this. Verse 8 of 2 Peter 3. "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." And that doesn't mean to take this out of context and use it to try to demonstrate that each creation day was 1,000 years or longer. And these two cancel out each other anyway. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." That's what will happen in the future. What are the main topics in our Genesis Bible study that require our attention when refuting humanism? Major topics to cover to refute the anti-biblical teaching are as follows. Remember, this is a straightforward reading of Scripture. Number one, in the beginning God created everything from nothing, called ex nihilo in Latin. Number two, the earth is created by God in 6 literal days in Genesis 1, by God stating a number along with day and saying evening and morning as well. Number three, God established our week by adding a 7th literal day of rest to the first 6 days of creation. This is in chapter 2. Number four, how do we know that the earth is not millions and billions of years old? A, we see the creation week. B, next we are given exact genealogies in years that lead first from Adam to Noah in chapter 5. C, the next genealogy from chapter 11 with exact years continues with Shem, Noah's son, to Abraham. D, now ask, how long ago did Abraham live? And the answer is 4,000 years ago. E, add all the years from the Adam to Abraham list and get 1,948. Add that to 4,000 and round it off, if you want, to approximately 6,000 years. F, this is definitely not millions or billions of years. Number five, man as male and female were created by God on day 6. And they are separate from all the rest of his living creation by being created in his image and likeness, and so are we. This comes from chapter 1. Number 6, Adam was shown that he could not mate or be compatible with any of the rest of God's creation unless he had a mate and wife called woman or Eve. This is in chapter 2. Number 7, we all descended from this real couple called Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:20. Number 8, dinosaurs were created on the 6th day along with the other land-dwelling creatures and man. Number 9, sin entered the world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and then the entire world was cursed according to chapter 3. Number 10, there is no record about the death of anything until Adam and Eve sinned. Number 11, the promise from God that he would send a Savior, Jesus, came out of the garden, and that he would descend from Adam and Eve, and he would be called the last Adam to be the one to take our enemy, sin, out of the world. Number 12, the entire world was covered by the global flood in chapters 6 to 8, so that all that had the breath of life would perish due to the extreme violence, corruption, and sin. Number 13, Noah's the only one found righteous. 14, Noah, his family of seven, and animals, birds, and creeping things were saved by an enormous ark that Noah built. 15, these animals were according to their kind and not as species. The word species does not exist in Scripture. That is a man-made word appropriate for varieties under the kind category. But animals were not taken on the ark as species. That would be far too many. Besides, all the rest of the animals can come from their kind category. 16. God promised to not destroy the earth via a global flood again by giving us his rainbow, and that is the reason for the rainbow only. 17. We got all our languages from the disobedience again of mankind after the flood because they would not disperse over all the earth, and they had to stop building the Tower of Babel when God changed mankind from one universal language to many. We can use the organizations I mentioned previously to get other answers. Your attendees should realize that Adam, Eve, and Noah were real persons. These are the ones that are attacked most frequently as being allegorical or downright unreal. This is all for the sake of evolution and uniformitarianism. For the biblical definition of uniformitarianism, basically stating that nothing has changed, only goes about in a normal uniform process, which denies a global flood, you can refer to 2 Peter 3 as read previously, if you want to go back over it. Also, we did not descend from any other creatures, or from slime, or some imaginary pond scum, or even molecules. And some have said, from the goo to the zoo to you. The discussion of the topic of alien life is extremely important. One thing that is becoming more and more popular is the belief in aliens, and along with their superiority over man, or that life even started because of them. It's a good way to deny God or try to separate him from his creation. I have some extra information that I consider relative to this belief in aliens that comes from the esoteric and occult belief in superior beings from beneath the surface of the earth. This belief was particularly strong around the time of Nazi Germany, and while Hitler was a dictator of Germany in 1933 to 1945, there was, or is, a belief in a society called Vril. That's spelled V-R-I-L. That is what they call these so-called underground superior beings, and that these beings had enormous powers that could even destroy the earth. Just the right thing for taking over the entire earth, especially for the Nazis. There is a one-hour television documentary called The Occult Nazi Order, The Vril Society, and you can find it on YouTube also. I watched this program, and narrators say that the idea of this society came from nothing more than a science fiction book called The Coming Race. This is a novel by a man called Edward Bulwer Lytton, published anonymously in 1871. It has also been published as Vril, The Power of the Coming Race. It seems that many in the general German public and a good number of the Nazis read this book and believed it to be real. Could this same thing be happening to us today because of all the books, TV shows, and movies that contribute to helping us accept that aliens are real? Answers in Genesis has a good video called Aliens, Fact or Fiction by Dr. Danny R. Faulkner, as well as other articles on this subject. You can search for articles on the Institute for Creation website also. These websites are www.icr.org and www.answersingenesis.org. The discussion of the topic of dinosaurs is extremely important. I was at a playground with my wife and our grandchildren and saw a boy of maybe the age of the first or second grade wearing a t-shirt with the images of dinosaurs on the shirt. I asked him if he liked dinosaurs, and he naturally said yes. Most children are fascinated by dinosaurs. I asked when the dinosaurs were on the Earth, and he gave a standard, brainwashed, secular answer of 65 million years ago. I asked him if he knew who Marco Polo was, and he said no. Now, if he had been in a higher grade, I would have considered a no answer as the fault of his education or he didn't pay attention. I continued with the fact that Marco Polo had written about dinosaurs in his travels. I was pleased that he asked me when this was, and I responded around 500 years ago. Close enough to the truth, but definitely not 65 million years ago. He was surprised. I also told him there were dinosaurs on the ark with Noah, and again he was surprised. About that time, his mother jumped in and asked him, "Don't you remember Noah's ark from church?" I don't remember his name. So he got a Sunday school lesson from church, but should it appear to me nothing was said about dinosaurs, or did he forget? I am willing to stake my reputation that he learned the 65 millions of years from the media or a museum or possibly his school. Since we are constantly bombarded by humanism and false ideas, I also could deduce from this encounter with him that his church may not have tried to counter or refute secular humanism, especially with our young people. This is a tragedy that has been going on for decades, and the problem is getting worse. Again, look to Answers in Genesis and the Institute for Creation Research for articles. The evidence is overwhelmingly in favor for man and dinosaurs walking the earth together. There are many other topics that are very important. We can teach Genesis 1 to 11, and it is possible to get a flood, no pun intended, of questions about many other areas of concern, for instance, astronomy, geology, and fossils, and biology with genetics. Who is prepared to give answers for all these areas of concern? When you're a teacher, especially. We have to have sets of videos and articles available from the scientific teams of professional PhDs at Answers in Genesis and the Institute for Creation Research. I have such a package myself ready anytime I need these resources and am quite capable to put together a thorough Bible study. I have already done a couple of presentations. This is not hard to do with minimal investment. If you listen to my recordings of the Bible study of Genesis 1 to 11 on my website, genesis1to11.com, you should get an idea of what I'm talking about. Even though this Bible study is strictly straightforward with some reinforcing Hebrew, a little mention of science, and some refutations of humanism. Of course, it is much better to have studies of God's Word in person to be able to answer a variety of questions, but these recordings are good for on the fly and for personal use. This little bit of Hebrew I learned is not difficult and is mostly pronounced like Spanish, in which I happen to be fluent. This pronunciation was confirmed by an instructor in Hebrew when I asked him. You do not have to be fluent in either Hebrew or Spanish to enjoy what God said in the original Hebrew language that Adam and Eve spoke. I am guiding you with that, and you can see what I did. What has helped me the most is to be able to teach this Bible study is that I found an excellent website with transliterated color coding of the original Hebrew using English letters. It includes Greek also. That is fantastic. We need to separate fact from fiction, and that is the problem when we don't have a biblical worldview and are not willing to take our Creator God at His inerrant truthful word. I plan on not having to answer to Jesus Christ that I didn't fully believe His word, which is John chapter 1. I may be guilty of many other sins, but I definitely plan on not having that one held against me. I want to hear from Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Remember that a belief in Genesis 1 through 11 is not a salvation issue. But when you don't believe in it, you can do great harm to others through teaching heresy. A belief in Jesus Christ is necessary to spend eternity with Him. And finally, the question you have to ask is, who are you willing to please, man or God? Thank you.